there today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, as you know by now, I think the population of the Republic of Ireland has increased by 7.6% to over 5,123,536 people, according to preliminary census information. The census, of course, was on Sunday night, the 3rd of April last, just issued by the CSO in the last day or so, which has really captured people's imagination, with the population in every county increasing between Census 16 and 2022. To break out some of the details behind it, we're joined by one of the authors of the report, statistician with the CSO, Deirdre Lynch. Good morning to you, Deirdre. Thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. It certainly is spectacular. A population in Ireland of plus 5 million for the first time in since the 1840s.
Exactly. So I'm delighted to be here today to tell you all the great story of the fact that the population in 2022 has reached 5.1 million. So this is the first time since 1841 that we've had the highest population, and it's the first time since 1851 that we've reached over 5 million. So the population has increased by 8% compared to that of 2016, which is an increase of about 361,000 people over the last 6 years. So it's twice the growth seen between 2011 and 16. But it is important to note that although it's one of the highest population figures on record, it is a similar growth compared with the previous census periods.
Now, the caveat, of course, is these are preliminary, but it's really some astonishing information in it. If we look at Leinster in particular, including Kildare, where there's, of course, as you'd expect, Dublin, a massive population rise, but also across the other counties, including Kildare.
Absolutely. So the highest, as you said there, Owen, the whole population's experienced an increase in population, which is a very positive story for every county across Ireland. The highest population increase was felt in Longford with 14%, while that, however, it is important to note that that is a smaller county with a lower base. And as you correctly said, in East of the country, Meath, Fingal and Kildare had the highest population increase over on that side of the country. So Kildare increased by 11%, which was over 24,000 persons, and Fingal increased by 11% and Meath increased by 13%. So a very positive story for those counties. The lowest population increase with 5% in each was felt in Donegal, Kilkenny, Kerry and Tipperary.
Right, that's interesting, even some of the counties, you know. I don't want to rain on Donegal's parade now, but a bit remote, but I'm surprised at a place like Kilkenny would have seen a decline in population. But anyway, I also see Carlow increased by 8.8%. Wicklow, we've quite a lot of listeners in the surrounding counties as well, by 9.2%. But alongside Longford, which showed one of the biggest growths, and no explanation, I suppose, for why Longford's, rising house prices and the commuter belt spreading out even more and more and more might explain that. Longford, Meath, Fingal, Kildare, Wexford and Carlow, amongst the fastest growing counties in Leinster.
Absolutely. So it's really interesting to note for Longford, although it was a 14% increase, that was an increase of over 5,700 persons. But it does come from a lower base, and it's important to note that, you know, other figures in the other counties mentioned have somewhat a higher actual number. There's been no decline in any county, which is a very positive story. You've mentioned Donegal there, so that had an increase of 5%, which was over 7,000 persons between 2022 and 2016, which is actually opposite of what had happened in Donegal between 2011 and 16, where there was actually a population decrease. There were three counties in 2016 that had a population decrease, which included Donegal, Mayo and Sligo. So it's a really positive story for those counties as well, that they're on the increase. But just on moving on to housing, it's an interesting story with regard to Kildare, in that it's one of the only counties that experienced a higher increase in the housing stock as opposed to the growth in population. So Kildare actually had an increase of 12% in their housing stock, whereas they had an increase of 11% in their population, which is a really positive story. And when we look at this in other counties, it's actually the opposite trend that was occurring. So when we looked at Leitrim, we seen there was an increase of 10% in the population, but only an increase of 3% in housing. And Roscommon was similar to that, with an 8% increase in the population, but only a 3% increase in the housing. So it is really interesting to see what's going on around the country. And it's difficult at this point to say where people are coming from and where they're moving to, but we, as these results are preliminary. But next year, when our official publication series begin, we will have the forms scanned and processed, and we will have that extra detail to ascertain what the trend is behind.
Now, the overall population increase, Deirdre, was 361,671.
Yes.
There is that. That's obviously to do with a combined migration, and people, lots of new babies.
So, yes, just to explain the reasons for population change, there's two main drivers. They include the natural increase and net migration. And just to simplify those terms, the net migration is the difference between the births and the deaths. So over the last 6 years, that number was 171,000 persons. So that was the natural increase. But the second driver of population increase is net migration. Now, in this case, because every county has experienced a positive increase, we can say that that's people coming into the country. So that was 190,000 persons that came into the country over the last 6 years. So it's really, really positive. And when you look at this on as an average annual figure, which is sometimes more useful to look at when comparing periods across time, that translates to be an average of 31,000 people coming into Ireland annually for the over the last six years.
So now, if I break that down, as you mentioned previously, there's very good interactive maps on your site, which I'm looking at on a county-by-county basis. So we have 12,440 more people arrived in Kildare. And yes, while there might be, the housing stock might have increased, I'll tell you, Kildare being officially part of the Greater Dublin Commuter Belt certainly is undergoing huge pressures on availability of housing, and particularly affordable housing. 14,900 arrived in Meath, for example, in regards to that. In Wicklow, 7,782. In Leash, 3,302 extra people arrived. And if I pop down to our neighbours in Carlow, there, 2,807. And of course, looking at Dublin. But I think the figure for Dublin can be skewed with numbers arriving don't necessarily stay in Dublin. They might tend to move out into other counties.
So it is important to note that with these preliminary figures, it includes everyone who was present in the state on census night. So it does include visitors. It excludes people who were out of the state or on their holidays, absent abroad on census night. However, we can delve into this analysis in more detail once we have the forms scanned and processed, because we do have information on where a person is usually resident. So we can look to see who is there, and we can do extra analysis on potentially excluding visitors and the likes, or putting people back to their usual place of residence. But thanks for calling out the information on the website there. There is a lot of data up there, and we have interactive maps. So I'd encourage all the listeners to go on and take a look at their area. But just with respect to Kildare, at the ED level, so we've a table published on the electoral divisions in Ireland. There's 3,409 of them. And when we specifically look at Kildare, we see that Killeshee actually had the highest population increase of 63%. So there was 168 extra persons there, bringing the total figure up to 433. And this was followed by Kilcock, which had a 26% increase. So this was brought up to 8,700 persons. Whereas the largest electoral divisions in the ED are Naas Urban, and they have 26,000 persons, followed by Maynooth with 18,000 persons. So this is just a flavour of the statistics that's available on our website. And CSO.ie should bring your listeners to all the statistics that they want, and they can delve into it in further detail.
Indeed. And just by the way, 46,559 extra people arrived in Dublin during those years. Just one point before we let you go, and thank you for those wonderful drilling down into the figures for Kildare, because I'm sure that maybe by the time we arrive at the next election, we might end up with maybe an extra TD. Our constituencies could be redrawn again, but that's a debate for another day. Just earlier, you mentioned, Deirdre, in regards to vacant housing stock. 48,000 dwellings vacant in both 2016 and 2022. While there were 16,560 fewer vacant dwellings, the number of vacant dwellings around the county, around the country, is still surprisingly high given the housing crisis that we're in.
I think it's important, before we delve into the figures on census vacancy, that we do clearly set out the definition that pertains to it. So it's a point in time. It's representative of one night in the year. So it does not necessarily mean that the property is available for reuse or to house other people. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they should be used as a long-term vacancy measure. And some of them are, vacant for a relatively short period of time. In this particular census, our enumerators were able to establish and record what the reason for vacancy was. This was confirmed by neighbours, guests and local knowledge. And it's really interesting what came out of this analysis. So there was rental properties, which accounted for 21%, and there was for sale, which accounted for 11%. Now, this included sale agreed or recently sold. And just for clarification, rental property did include dwellings that were advertised as being for rent at that time. They were short-term lets, Airbnbs and properties between lets. But when you look at the county level, it's really interesting, actually, because Galway City and Dublin City had the highest proportion of vacant rental properties, whereas Roscommon, County Galway and Mayo, they were most often vacant because the owner was deceased. And in Leitrim and Sligo, they had the highest number of abandoned farmhouses. But with respect to the point you brought up, in relation to the 23,000 that were vacant over the three census periods, while this does indicate a more accurate reflection of what's happening over time, it's still really important to note that those are three nights over 11 years. And just to be, you know, sure of that. But
fantastically informative. I love going through these census figures from an employer perspective here in the radio station. Of course, most useful for us in analysing our listenership demographic, where people are, who's going, who's coming. And by the way, for those who might be interested in the gender situation out there, 2,593,600 females, while there were 2,529,936 males recorded, which is an increase of 7.7% for women and females, and an increase of 7.5% respectively for men. We still have more females in the country than males, and maybe people would say, well, at least there's some hope for the country being saved anyway, with all these men that have been ruining it for generations and that. 5 million plus people in the country now, 5,123,536, the highest number since 1841. Fantastic stuff, really, really informative. And well done, you and your team, Deirdre Lynch, at the CSO. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Indeed. Good morning. On that, let's go indeed to Kira, who is heading to the municipal districts.
Yes, I'm over at Selbridge Leakslip. Councillor Vanessa Liston of the Green Party joins me. Good morning, Vanessa.
Morning, Kira.
You have asked the council to outline measures it takes in Selbridge Leakslip MD. That's to mitigate high radon levels, both in the housing stock and also to raise awareness of the need for residents to test for radon levels, particularly in the high-risk areas. I know we have been speaking about that only in recent weeks and months after the EPA updated their national radon maps.
Yes, absolutely. So this was really bringing this home right to the municipal district. Radon, as people may know, is a radioactive gas and is caused by the radioactive decay of uranium that's naturally present in, obviously, our soils and rocks. But what happens is that this can come up through the houses, and you may be living in a low radon risk area or in higher risk. But why it matters is that it causes cancer. It is a carcinogen, and the EPA estimates that 350 people annually die of lung cancer directly related to radon. So it is a public health risk. And if we look at our own municipal district, Selbridge and Leakslip, we can see that there's quite a significant number of residential areas and properties that are living in within. Your risk is either 1 in 5 properties of high radon levels, 1 in 10, mainly, and then after
that... Is that just within Selbridge Leixlip, you mean?
Within Selbridge and Leixlip, exactly.
Okay.
So this motion, so it is an area of concern that we need to advance within the council. So this motion was asking, what is the council doing about testing for and raising awareness of radon levels within its own housing stock? Now, the response was that at the moment there is no radon testing at all within the council housing stock. However, there is a small happening within the properties where there's disabled persons grants on works ongoing, but that's a very small amount. So the point here is that nothing has happened. However, there was a testing program back in 2000, in the 2000s, that stopped in 2010, and this data was sent through to the Radiological Survey. So the question is, I suppose, well, if it could do it
then...
Do
you know why it was stopped, Vanessa?
I'm not sure as to why it was stopped, but when we were discussing it, you know, there was a lot of discussion around the issue of resources and so on.
Okay.
What we've decided as a municipal district is that to take that to full council for the wider discussion, and with the aim of bringing it to the Housing Committee for actually reopening that monitoring programme. But just to let members know, no doubt it's already been raised, people can get monitors to test their own homes if there's any, if they're interested in doing so. They're around €29. Normally required two for a standard house, upstairs and downstairs. You leave them in your house for 3 months, send them back to the lab for testing, and these can be sourced on the EPA website from a list of registered suppliers.
Yeah, we did discuss it at the time when the EPA did update their maps, but if anybody out there wants some more information, just call us here at KFM and we'll be able to give that to you, 045-898-999. Vanessa, I'm going to move on now. You asked for an update on plans to produce an annual report. That's on the spend of the local property tax for Selbridge Leixlip MD.
Exactly. So this is something I'm very keen on, is that a report, which we don't currently have, a report is produced on feeding back to people on how the local property tax gathered each year in the municipal district is spent. So there is fantastic work being done by both the council in terms of roads and parks and heritage, but also the amazing work carried out by community groups and projects that are ongoing. But we don't have any visibility on that. So I raised this a couple of months ago, and what they have done is included a small section within the annual report from the council. So that's already good progress. But what I'd like to see is much more visual, easy to understand, you know, graphics and so on, that feed back into the community to say, this is your property tax, this is an itemised, you know, list of what it was spent on, and these are the projects. So from the discussion, it looks like we will be getting something like that for the municipal district. So be following up and look forward to that.
Okay.
Because it's important that people know how that valuable local property tax is spent and the value it's delivering.
Vanessa, finally, I'd say everybody listening would like to be driving an electric vehicle these days. You've asked the council to confirm when it will roll out the public EV charging points in Selbridge Leixlip MD.
Yes, so the electric vehicle chargers, there are very few and far between within Selbridge and the municipal district in general, with such a high population. And as people do want to get electric vehicles, it's important that we have the infrastructure there. So the response has been, and I know there's been a long wait for it, but the Department of Transport is developing or has just ended a consultation on the EV charging infrastructure strategy for 2022 to 2025. And the council needs to wait for that to be produced, which hopefully will be in the autumn or the end of the year. But the important thing about that is it'll tell us what the capital funding is needed to provide that infrastructure, and most importantly, any match funding that's required by the council. So they need to wait for that. And as soon as we see that, then we can start budgeting for that potential match funding and then accelerate that rollout.
Okay.
So we're all looking forward to that.
Okay, we'll hear more about that then towards the end of the year. Thank you so much to Councillor Vanessa Liston of the Green Party and Selbridge Leixlip MD.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Indeed, there's a number of those Ireland recycling events happening. Selbridge, Maynooth, there's one in Naas, and there's one elsewhere in the county as well. I'll give you details during the course of the second hour this morning. Hi, Clem. Will you wish my dear friend Vera Rooney a happy birthday? Says Mary Donnelly. Done, Mary. With regard to COVID in Cavan, that is obvious. It would be low. Oh, yes, yes. Somebody's cracking a joke in regards to Cavan people being tight here and says, of course it's low in Cavan because we know Cavan people don't like sharing. Okay, I'm not going to say any more than that. Clem, is the population increase based on Irish births or the multinational community that arrived? I think I answered that during it. It's a combination of net inward migration by everyone, irrespective of colour. Don't know why you're focusing on that one. My question is, what percentage of the Irish population are actually Irish? Well, I think the vast majority, the last census, I can't comment on the present census, but the last census in 2016 and showed that around 16% of the population were from other countries. Let's put it that way. I'm not interested in the colour of people. I don't care. We're all human beings at the end of the day, and that's all that should count in regards to anything. Very briefly, Ciara has an update before we head to Naas to find about the latest cycling campaign.
Yeah, this is just an update from the second quarter of the myhome.ie Davy price report, and we were going through certain areas, and the average price of a three-bed semi-D in this county, the update as of the second quarter of 2022, €249,475, an increase of 8.72%. If we look at our neighbouring counties, Wicklow has increased by 10.95%. That's now up to €385,000. More expensive.
For a three-bedroom semi?
Semi-D. More expensive than Dublin. Dublin's average price, €365,000.
Wicklow is now €380,000. It was 20 grand dearer. Yeah.
And in quarter one of 2022, Wicklow was more expensive than Dublin, also €375,000. I'm just going to touch on Laois and Carlow quickly, Clem. Laois, €185,000 for the average. Again, an increase, 5.71%. And finally, Carlow, that is an increase of 9.14%. The average three-bed semi-D asking price for that house, €215,000. And Carlow, in County Kildare, €249,475.
And Wicklow, 140,000 higher than that, 380,000.
385.
I was going to build a three-story house in Glendalough. You know,
another one to add to the portfolio. Still right, here, houseless. But.
Well done on that, Ciara. Thanks. Those numbers are staggering. Wow. Okay, Liz Deneef, good morning to you.
Good morning, Clem.
And thanks for joining us. God almighty, we're not moving to Wicklow anytime soon, Liz.
No, I'm not talking not.
About. I'm not talking about you and me now moving together to Wicklow, just in case anyone would draw the wrong conclusion. Because people sometimes draw the wrong conclusions from things I might say here, and we could cause a scandal. Now, the last time, Liz, you are part of the Naas cycling campaign, of course, and most recently, unfortunately and regrettably, we recounted your last experience where you were abused by motorists, one female in particular, and some dangerous manoeuvres going on again. Now, let's focus on the positive. You're organising an event for tomorrow.
We are. So, as you say, Naas Cycling Campaign has been running critical mass events in Naas on the last Saturday of every month since January this year, and it's happening again tomorrow, which is great. We're pushing ahead. And as you say, normally these events run very smoothly. We have great support from the Garda Traffic Corps, who's been absolutely fantastic. And it was just unfortunate that last month we didn't have support, which resulted in some of the issues you described there. But we do have Garda support tomorrow, and we're hoping to have lots of people come out to join us so that we can experience a fun and positive cycling friendly town tomorrow afternoon. And actually, because it coincides with Pride, if you can't make it to Dublin and you're planning to join us, we are encouraging people to wear their rainbow colours and to turn it into a mini Pride cycle as well.
Yes, indeed. I think that's a great idea. What time?
It's on at 2 o'clock and we gather at Poplar Square.
And the route?
The route, so we travel out to Salins Road out to Naas GA Club, and we turn at the roundabout then at Naas GA and come back in towards Naas, and then travel out onto the canal, which is a really nice section of it. Actually, everyone always loves that nice country bit of it. And then we travel back, we go right up to the Newbridge Road, and then turn back and travel the whole way back down through Main Street Naas, which is great fun. And we try and make as much noise and bring as much colour as we can to the town to show people how much fun it can be to cycle, because it's a very nice group. You know, it's a chaperoned group, and we'd have cyclists of all levels, you know, so it's very much family focused. Lots of, we have kids of So I think last month our youngest participant was 3 months old.
Okay, it was actually, yeah, we spoke about that on the programme. Yeah. So listen, folks, tomorrow, everybody's welcome. Bring your helmets, by the way, and high-vis vests, because we want everybody to stay safe. It's all free for everyone in the audience. So bring your bike, have it in good shape, check the tyres that just to avoid punctures. It's a nice route. How long is that route in total, Liz?
It's just under 5 kilometres. It's very doable. And as you say, absolutely wear helmets and all those and all protective gear. But it's also, you know, very relaxed as well.
Yeah. Nobody will be racing around thinking they're in the Tour de France or anything like that.
So there are no medals. There's coffee at the end, though.
Oh, very nice. You know, coffee at the end. Right, 2 o'clock, Poplar Square tomorrow, folks. Everybody welcome with your bike, helmet, high-vis vest and a lovely jaunt. We'll call it the Nais Saunter on the bikes across the route that Liz has described. They're about 5K, and I think that's a great idea. And good luck tomorrow and stay safe, everyone, Liz.
Thank you so much, Ken.
All right, good morning to you. Now, let's go to Owen, who is talking more about Salins.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the line, once again, is Fianna Fáil councillor on the Nais Municipal District, Carmel Kelly. Good morning, Carmel.
Good morning, Owen. And isn't Salins a wonderful place to talk
about? It is.
About?
I can talk about it 7 days a week, Carmel. Don't mind climbing
you
there.
And me both.
Come here till I ask you. The Curtistown Park, there was an update on your social media yesterday. I know councillors went out to visit it there. We have an update now that it's due to be completed at the end of 2023. What can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you it's fantastic news. We got an update on it last Tuesday. They come into us quite often to give us an update and let us know how they're progressing. And it's fantastic news. They're ahead of schedule. Originally, they were talking about maybe 2024 to open, but it now looks like by the end of 2023, Curtistown Park, fabulous new facility, will be open to the public.
I was looking at the map as well. Some fantastic facilities are going to be there. It's going to be a great amenity for the local community, football pitches, a walking track and so forth.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, 2 full-size, all-weather, multi-use, flood-lit pitches. Like, I mean, that's unheard of locally. Mm. I mean, and multi-use, so Gaelic, rugby, soccer, hockey, camogie, whatever you like, multi-use, floodlit. That's phenomenal. And then 3 smaller pitches as well. You know, they could use them for 5-a-side or whatever, you know.
I noted as well, one of the things that you raised, Carmel, is the accessibility, which might cause an issue for people obviously coming out from Salins, or if you're coming in the other side from Johnstown. There's no path directly out to the Curtistown Park. So that's something that'll need to be looked at.
Oh, look, there's a couple of outstanding issues, but we have enough time to sort them out. And look, there's a new road coming, we'll say, from the Johnstown end that is in place because they needed that for trucks, and there is fabulous footpaths. But coming from Salins, as you know, that Curtistown Road is a busy, narrow road, not suitable for pedestrians or cyclists. So that's my big concern, you know. I've been on to you recently and I've been talking about the bypass and all of that stuff, and you're saying, are you going to be bringing this up every month? Well, this issue I'm going to be bringing up every month until we get it sorted, because there's no point having this fabulous facility and not being able to walk to it. When the kids get their holidays, you know, during the summer, it's so close to us. You know, there's no point in having it there if mums and dads can't say, sure, get on your bike there and cycle up to Cardiff and, you know, enjoy yourself and have a kick around there and a walk around. That's not going to be possible unless we get cycling and walking facilities, and we are working on that.
Yeah, so good news there for the local area. Curtistown Park due to be completed now at the end of 2023. One final point before we let you go, Carmel. This was raised by a listener who called into the station yesterday afternoon. The installation of the traffic island outside Castle Fen and outside Hillview in Salins there, saying a couple of cars have hit that island and it's a bit of an inconvenience. What can you tell us about that?
I'm sorry to hear that cars have hit it. I hope nobody was injured. But yes, Traffic Island is part of the traffic calming measures, and it was probably one of the first items that was mooted on the traffic calming measures, because that stretch of the road was quite wide and people, pedestrians, older people, young people going to school, trying to cross that road to get to the bus heading toward Naas was always an issue because it was quite a wide section of the road. So putting in the traffic island makes it safer so you can, you know, get to halfway across, use somewhere safe to stand, and then okay. Do the second half. So I am sorry to hear that, but that was always going to be one of the
measures that were going
the
to
first
be
measures in. That were going to be brought in because
okay.
of
that's
that.
That's fine.
That
I just wanted
road.
To check because, as I said, a listener called into us yesterday afternoon. But on that issue, and indeed the Curtistown Park, Fianna Fáil councillor on the Naas MD, Carmel Kelly. Thank you.